Our Dodge County Court Judge Thomas J. Klein with the 6th Judicial District with us this morning. Welcome. Nice to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me, Mr. Walls. We go back a ways.
Yeah.
When I was in private practice, we'd chat once in a while.
Yeah. Whenever this time of the year comes around.
Right.
So state basketball, we would always call the law office over in Wahoo to make sure we were helping sponsor some of those local businesses. But today we're going to talk in a different vein. We're going to talk about your duties as the county court judge right here in Dodge County. So started this when?
Well, how that worked.
Yeah, let's go back and how they all got started here.
There was a vacancy here, and that came open in October of 2022. And I applied for it and then went through the process, and the governor actually appointed me the day before Thanksgiving, and then I had to wrap up private practice. So I actually started here January 25th, 2023.
So, oh my gosh.
About 13 months on the job now. Wow. So,
but before that, let's kind of backtrack here. What, about 30 years?
Just about 30 years in private practice in Wahoo, and I was the Saunders County Public Defender for most of that.
So. Okay. Okay, so I see a lot in that 30 years there.
Well, one would like to think that you learn a lot in that amount of time. So
yeah,
I think being in small town private practice and what we did there and what goes on in the county court was a good transition. So
yeah, nice. So when that vacancy or that position opens up. Do you have to apply? How does that work? Do you apply, or does the governor just kind of pick people out?
No, the judicial qualifications or judicial resources committee meets. It's made up, and they decide if there's enough of a workload for that vacancy to be declared. And if that is, then if you've been in practice more than 5 years and you're in good standing with the bar, you can apply. And so I did, and I think I hold the – I knew fairly early on in my career I thought this was something I wanted to do, so I think I hold the unofficial state record. This was actually my 13th go at it when I finally got appointed up here in Dodge County.
Oh, wow.
So I spent a lot of time in juvenile court with kids when they feel like things don't go right, to tell them that perseverance can pay off for you. So
Yeah, definitely.
So then once that happens, the judicial nominating committee meets, and that's made up of four different lawyers, two Republicans, two Democrats, to be fair.
Yeah.
Four people at large from your judicial district, and they go over whoever you fill out a very detailed form. They go through it, and they interview you. And then they decide between two and however many get their names sent down to the governor's office. And then the governor interviews those people, and the governor selects then who's going to fill that position. So,
nice. Yeah, that is it's a pretty thorough process, I would say.
It's a rather extensive vetting that you go through. That's okay. Correct. So
when you first started, were you in Saunders County or Dodge
County?
Yeah,
that's the only – as soon as I got out of law school, that's the only place I practiced. I was fortunate enough to get in with George Hessler and Bob Sullivan. They were both 70-year-old lawyers when I started, and practice with both of them, and probably like most people, thought I'd spend a year or two doing that and do something else. I spent 29 years there. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Able to raise a family and everything there. You actually were in Fremont for a little bit, weren't you? Did you grow up here?
No, I grew up in Omaha. My wife actually grew up.
Oh, your wife did? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then she lived here for about 2 years. And then actually, if you go down 77, there's a farmstead just south of the Woodcliff corner as you're going south. And she lived there and then grew up in Cedar Bluffs. And her mom and dad both lived here. And my only tie is really to Fremont. My dad was a Midland alumni here. So,
okay. Yeah. So, yeah, very good. Looking at everything else here, I know on the right now here in Dodge County, our jail really isn't that active. We do transport a lot of folks to Saunders County or to Washington County. Thoughts on that, I guess?
Well, it's always kind of an ongoing conversation because Dodge County has to pay to house inmates, and I want to say that's around $80 a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a balance between running a jail. There are some costs and building one, because now they'd probably have to build one because I think their old jail is not certified any longer to the
hold. It's more of just a holding cell then?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's something that's ongoing. And actually, our caseload in Dodge County is getting to the point now where we do have two county courtrooms, so we could have two county judges here. But our caseload and our staffing is getting to the point where at some time, and our courtrooms are not ADA accessible. They were built prior to ADA. So there are a lot of things we need to talk about. But the costs a lot of money, obviously.
Right,
so,
right.
That's something at some point in time we'll have to discuss with the board and the sheriff's office and everybody involved.
Yeah.
But it's not only just the cost of housing inmates, because then you have manpower hours and cars and transport.
Right.
And there are a lot of things involved with it. So,
a typical week, like today is probably more of a heavier load day, isn't it?
Yeah. Today mainly is our civil docket. So probate and civil cases, small claims. We do a juvenile docket in the afternoon as well. And then Tuesday always is our criminal call day. So all day we're in criminal court. I do the morning. Judge Barron handles the afternoon because I sit in with Judge Hall on drug court on Tuesday afternoons.
Okay.
We actually have two judges here on our drug court, which I think is a good thing.
I hear that's a big success as well.
Initially, I was a public defender, so obviously, you know, I was on board. But when you go through, there is a really formal training you go through. And what you learn about addiction and the cycle of addiction and rehabilitation really is interesting. And it has changed my thoughts a lot on court administration and what we need to do. I think a lot of people, probably me included, before doing this, would say with people with addictions that, you know, we'll just quit, you know, quit drinking, quit using drugs, you know, and stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
If it were that simple, you know, we do that. It has been. I served on the drug court team in the 5th Judicial District, and it was very successful there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very solid drug court here in Dodge County, and I really enjoy serving on it.
Very good. I interrupted. I'm sorry. You were giving your schedule down.
So. Yeah, so that was Wednesday is?
Wednesday is all-day juveniles.
Okay.
Biggest thing we have going, we have a lot going on, but we do have a lot of truancy, and what that comes from, I don't know. There seems to be some research that kids being out of school for a year or two after COVID has had a large effect on that.
Right.
So we're dealing with that. We have a truancy task force that we're working on with that. And then Thursday varies between longer criminal matters that take a half hour, an hour, bench trials, those kind of things.
Uh-huh.
And we do have two Thursdays a month are in Spanish.
Oh,
so
sure. Okay.
We have our interpreter in on two Thursdays a month. And then Friday is usually if we have a trial or a jury trial. So we have court every day. It's busy.
Okay.
Probably busier than I thought, but I was a courtroom lawyer. I like being in the courtroom. It's fun. So I really enjoy what I do.
Yeah. I would imagine even your mood when you come in on a day. If you're, do you ever feel like you're in a good mood every day, or do you? When you can't be every day.
Well, you know, I'm probably like everybody else. So you guys get up earlier than I do. When you guys roll out at 4:30 or whatever, I'm sure it's not like, yay, it's Monday today. So when I get up, no, it's a fun day to go to work. But I will say, when I go to work, I really do enjoy every day I have at work, and I am probably a guy that's not glass is half full. I'm probably a guy glass 7/8 full all the time.
Good. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, I look at it as an opportunity every day, and it sounds kind of Father Flanagan-ish.
Yeah.
And not just in juvenile court, but every day you could have a pronounced effect, a difference on somebody, and the whole ripple or butterfly effect that can cause is kind of what drives me. So,
yeah.
I have a question. In news, we have what we call a story line, and it's the one upper. Just when you think that you hear, that you could hear all you could hear, there's something worse that happens. We call it the one upper effect. Do you experience that in the courtroom as well, when you think this is it? I will never hear anything more wild than this, and then something else happens.
Yeah, I guess I would say bizarre, wild.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd use the term worse. I've been practicing law 30 years, and you know, you get your 50th driving under revocation or whatever in a day, and you're kind of like, you know, okay, whatever. And you think, okay, there's nothing new that I could hear, and then you do. And it's stuff that the best fiction writer couldn't even make up. you know.
Yep.
You kind of walk out of the courtroom like, wow, where'd that come from? Mm-hmm. You know?
So, yeah. 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 You definitely have to hear both sides of the story.
Right.
Don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. You don't have a dull day.
Well, and there are kind of almost three sides of every story. And that's not a bad thing because it's just how people perceive or how we hear. So there's what people think they say, what other people think they heard somebody say, and then mm-hmm. usually somewhere in the middle is what somebody actually said right. or did. So mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah. Maybe explain, maybe a lot of our listeners may not know how the judicial system is set up, how that goes from county to the next step to the next step, how that all works.
Right.
Well, we in Nebraska, we're broken up into 12 different judicial districts, and they're all fairly the same. Some are bigger than others. Mm-hmm. Douglas County is its own, and they have like 12 county court judges and 10 district court judges based on their needs. And obviously, when you get, even though geographically they get bigger, like the 12th is a large judicial district
right,
with
right.
like three county judges. So, and then in terms of how that caseload goes, county court is what's called a court of general jurisdiction. We only get to hear cases that we have the power to hear. Civil cases under 52,000, small claims, probate, which is wills or guardianships, adoptions, mm-hmm. those types of things. Juvenile court, and then we hear misdemeanors, and misdemeanors means that the maximum punishment on a criminal charge is a year or less.
Okay.
So we hear those. We'll have felonies long enough just to determine if there's probable cause to transfer those to the district court. So
okay.
district court, we have two different courts in Nebraska.
I was going to say, yeah, people court. Get those mixed up a lot,
yeah.
county
yeah.
and right. district, I guess.
Right.
Can you explain
well,
what?
Well, county court's usually the smaller, you know, the mm-hmm. And then district court, here's the bigger cases. Like I said, felonies, divorce and custody is a big thing that goes on in district court. Large civil cases over 52,000. District court has what's called equity jurisdiction. So if you're asking for a restraining order, protection order, things that are not money damages, they have the ability to issue those orders. We don't
okay.
have. We do landlord-tenant, too, because that's specifically conferred
right.
yeah.
in the county
yeah.
court. And county court tend to have more what's called self-represented litigants,
yep.
smaller cases, people who can't afford an attorney based mm-hmm. on what they're doing. District court's a little more formal, more lawyers. And I kind of like county court because I feel like people that need to be there maybe need they feel like they can relate, get a chance to tell their story, feel like they've been heard.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really what I'm trying yeah. to accomplish.
Yep.
And treat everybody with dignity and respect. I think even when people don't get the ruling they want, if they feel like they got treated with dignity and respect, got a chance to tell their story and had it heard, usually they're willing to accept outcomes.
Yep,
then,
so. I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
We're talking with Thomas J. Klein, a county court judge for the 6th Judicial District right here in Fremont, Dodge County. I know you did talk a little bit about school truancy. Is that a pretty big issue?
It really is, and I don't know how many we have. I wish I could give you a solid number on how many we're working on right now, but it's a lot, and it has been a bigger problem since the pandemic. And a lot of that, they think, deals with kids with some psychological issues and getting used to not being in school and then like stress or
yeah.
anxiety about going back.
Yeah.
So it is a big issue, and we're working with Fremont Public Schools and probation and the county attorney's office trying to get that solved. So
yeah, there's another program here that's called Through the Eyes of the Child. Maybe tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, well, that's a program that was actually created by our Chief Justice Hevigan. I know he was in the summer when he was on summer tour. And it's to try to get court system and probation and lawyers to look at juvenile court and remember that the outcome in juvenile court really needs to be driven by what's in the best interest of the child. And that's our hallmark. But a lot of times in the procedural stuff and having all those adults in the courtroom, you can kind of get lost remembering what a child might be going through. So it's really focusing on the issues that we think children need to be addressed in the court system and aware that we need to make sure that those outcomes get reached. So we've just rebooted that program here in the county last week. So hopefully moving forward, that will.
Good deal. I know Teammates is also an important program that does a lot for some of those kids that do need some mentoring time. And I imagine that's something you stress to those kids and to the folks just around the area.
Yeah, we try to incorporate a Teammates program into a lot of our juvenile probation so those kids have a positive role model or somebody they can just trust, again, to talk to or maybe just listen, you know, somebody that'll listen to them. Part of that also, probation has what's called a community youth coach program. It's very similar to Teammates, mm-hmm. where you just try to pair up a youth with somebody in the community that they feel. And sometimes we try to find similar talents, like if the kid's interested in a tech program like HVAC or welding, yeah. that you try to find somebody in the community that can give them some guidance moving forward on that.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Let's see. I know you just recently had some surgery.
Last Monday I had a corneal transplant. It was my left. I had my right cornea transplanted 27 years ago. It was Election Day 1996. I had a condition called keratoconus, which is a progressive overcurvature of the cornea. And so just last Monday, which was President's Day, I had to have the left one done.
That's doing good, though.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm going to spend 2 seconds and say thank you to both my donors, because it is mm-hmm. a truly special gift people give you when you're a tissue or organ recipient. And, you know, things in your life affect you. And I will say, this is one of the things that's really affected me. I think I'm kind of a caring and big picture kind of guy, but every day when I get stuck in a scenario, I try to think, you know, what would my 16-year-old girl who donated this cornea think about this?
Or yeah,
and try to live my life a little fuller for, you know, for those people that didn't get those opportunities.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No. Well, we appreciate you coming in today.
Very much so.
Maybe get you in every once in a while, maybe every 4 to 6 weeks, and talk a little bit about what's going on. I know coming up here in late March, there'll be probably another appointment. Is that right?
Yeah, Judge Sampson, our district judge over in Washington, Burt and Thurston, retired. So if you guys had wanted, I'd love to come in and talk about how that process works.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, we're kind of the quiet, like you said, unless you have a reason to come in and see us, mm-hmm. nobody really knows what we do. So if you guys are willing, I'd love to come in and take the opportunity so people would know a little more about what goes on, how it happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah for sure. And
I'd like to thank you guys because I listen all the time. I even did when I was in Wahoo, and you guys do a really good job, you know. Part of the great thing about Fremont, it's a big enough town, but it's also got that small town feel, and you guys really do a great job bringing local issues to the
thank
community.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you. Yeah. Lots of information.
Yeah.
Learned a lot today.
Exactly. Yeah. Judge Tom, we appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on. Thank you very much.
Thomas Klein, County Judge right here, Dodge County 6th Judicial District with us this morning on Fremont's Morning Mix.